NPR.
The Nobel Prize in Economics. It's a big deal, right?
I mean, I've heard of it.
You know, it's not a big deal. They announce it once a year. They've been giving it out since 1969, and the winner gets a lot of money. They get about $1 million.
Yeah, unless more than one person wins, and then the winners split the money. And this year, it was a kind of three-way tie. Economists Michael Kremer, Esther Duflo, and Abhijit Banerjee all won the prize together.
And they all work in a branch of economics known as development economics. They do a lot of their work together, actually. And basically, what they do is apply economic principles to problems in the developing world. And between the three of them, they figured out how to improve school attendance, children's health, crop yields, and social conditions for millions of people across Africa and India. In fact, the Nobel Committee estimated that the work these three economists have done has impacted millions of lives.
Plus, Esther Duflo is the youngest person ever to win the economics prize.
Yeah, she's only 46.
Yep, and only the second woman. And her fellow Nobel recipient? Yeah. Abhijit Banerjee also happens to be her husband, and they both teach economics at MIT. This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Cardiff Garcia.
And I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Today on the show, Esther Duflo and Abhijit Banerjee talk about their work and what happens when you win a Nobel Prize.
Support for NPR comes from National Car Rental, who wants you to know that with a membership in our complimentary Emerald Club, you can skip the counter and choose any car in the aisle at participating national locations. You can even select an upgrade without paying extra. Learn more at nationalcar.com/NPR.
My name is Esther Duflo. I'm a professor of economics at MIT.
My name is Abhijit Banerjee, and I'm a professor of economics at MIT as well.
And Nobel Prize winners.
That too.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
How did you guys find out? Like, where were you when you found out you had won?
Considering they call you at 4:45, we were in our bed. Then we put it on speakerphone, and I had a cell phone reception pretty bad in our house, and we also were not awake, so we were fumbling with the volume, and they couldn't hear us, or we couldn't hear them, and we hung up on them, and all of that. But by and by, we kind of got the gist of it pretty quickly. Then they passed the phone to someone who said that he was very happy to inform me that I had been awarded the Nobel Prize in Economics. And then my first question was, with whom? And then they said, oh, with Professor Banerjee. And I said, oh, great, do you want to talk to him? That was... And so they said yes, and I gave him the phone.
They instructed us that since Esther was a woman and they wanted a woman to be the spokesperson, she would be the one person who would be at the press conference.
They said it like that? They were like, we would like the woman to be the spokesperson?
In so many words.
In so many words.
That's interesting. Okay.
And given that, I went back to sleep. Felt entirely redundant, and there was...
In fact, the way he said it is, let's go back to sleep. I was like, no! the man said, I have to make some tea to be ready for the press conference. He said, yes, you have to make some tea. So I got up, and since I'm like nothing but a diligent student, I made some tea.
You're... Co-winner Michael Kremer said that he celebrated the news by upgrading from Diet Coke to regular Coke. I'm curious to know if the two of you did something similarly extravagant.
No, we would never do that.
Neither of us drink Coke,
oh, okay.
So we didn't really have an easy option.
Do you mind talking about your branch of economics? I've heard it called development economics. How do you describe it?
Well, it's economics of poor countries, in a sense. It's sort of asking questions like, why are some people very poor? Why are countries poor? Is there something we can do to help them get out of it? It's kind of dancing around this question of the origins and responses to poverty.
Yeah, I mean, for a long time, one of the criticisms of economics was that the mathematicians, the theorists, were the ones who were sort of dominating the field. It seems like your work was a shift in a different direction and that that shift is being rewarded by this prize. Is that an accurate characterization?
In the last 25 years, in general, there has been in economics a move towards a much more rigorous empirical approach to problems, both in developed countries and in developing countries. So labor economists study issues like, you know, the impact of the minimum wage or the impact of migration on the wage of native workers, all with, you know, this kind of common concern that we also have, notwithstanding the theories, what are the facts on the ground saying? And if it turns out that the facts are totally inconsistent with the theory, then it's probably the theory that needs to be rethought, not the facts that you should change.
One of the questions that you have tackled is about absenteeism among teachers. Do you mind just talking about what the problem was and some of the different solutions that you tried?
Absolutely. So this is a problem that you find in many developing countries, that the absence rate of teachers is very high. So on average, across the country where it's been measured, it's about 25%. So every fourth day that you go to a school, the teacher is absent. So one of the early projects that I was involved with is to set up a randomized controlled trial of mechanism to try to improve teacher presence. We gave the teachers a camera and asked them to take a picture of themselves and the kid when they come to school. So we gave the school a camera and one of the kids took a photo every day at the beginning of the class and at the end of the class.
And where was this?
We did that in rural area in India, in Rajasthan, in a district called Udaipur. And what we're finding is that this very simple conceit of asking the teachers to take a photo of themselves and tying up their payment to the number of days did increase presence. It did increase effective teaching. That didn't just come and then sleep and then go home. It resulted into increased test scores.
The Nobel Committee also noted that the two of you are part of a kind of ongoing conversation in economics about the uses and the limits of field experiments and randomized control trials. And a lot of times what that debate centers on is whether the results of randomized control trials or these experiments are generalizable, or whether they can be applied to other places except where they were specifically performed, and whether they can be like scaled up to a lot more people so that, for example, something that works in a sub-Saharan African village, will that work in, you know, all of India or in parts of the developed world, that kind of thing. Can you just kind of give us your thoughts on like how you see sort of the path forward?
What you're learning from any particular experiment is rarely or never, oh, take that program and do it everywhere just the way it was. What you're learning is potentially some locally useful knowledge. For example, this particular NGO can decide to scale that program up or to keep it, which is something that they did. And in terms of what's more generally useful for the world is, oh, this is an important problem. Absenteeism is fixable because teachers are sensitive to incentives, at least in some context. This is something that we could explore with different programs in different places.
Well, thank you both for talking with us.
Thank you very much for having
us. Thank you.
Esther Duflo and Abhijit Banerjee are both economists at MIT. They just won the Nobel Prize this year, and they have a new book out called Good Economics for Hard Times. Today's episode of The Indicator was produced by Jared Marcel, fact-checked by Nadia Lewis. Our editor is Patty Hirsch, and The Indicator is a production of NPR.